Good afternoon. It's 1:38, House Finance. And call it to order. We have Representative Newman, Representative Costello, Representative Dugan, Representative Jewell, Representative Guttenberg, Representative T. Wilson, Vice Chair Fairclough, Co-Chair Stoltz, Co-Chair Thomas. And I know that Representative Guerra is in the building, so we'll just say he's here because he said he was coming. So, but he's excused, huh? So anyway, today we have two bills up, HB 108 and 109, and we need to adopt a CS for HB 108. Representative Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, I move before the committee the CS for House Bill 108, Finance, 27-GH1737-E, Bailey, 22811.
Mr. Chairman, did you want me to object so Mr. Eckman could describe the changes?
We'll bring him back up later, after.
Okay, then I'll remove my objection now that he's flinched.
He got his objection. Okay, no objections. HB 108 is adopted. Representative Fairclough, HB 109.
Mr. Chairman, I move before the committee CS for House Bill 109, Finance, 27-GH1738-B, Bailey, 22611.
No objections. HB 109 has been adopted. This time we're going to go back to HB 108 and call my esteemed staff, Reed Eklund, to explain things.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Peter Eklund, staff to Co-Chair Thomas. House Bill 108, the CS you have in front of you, Mr. Chairman. Let's go over some of the highlights, Mr. Chairman. And also, just to let everybody know, we've told all the subcommittee members, or all the committee members and others, that on Leg Finance's website, they're all the subcommittee reports are posted online. If people want more detail about what happened in the individual subcommittees, they can find those reports on Leg Finance's website online. They're already posted, sir. So, Mr. Chairman, when the subcommittees got through with their action, they made reductions to the governor's amended budget of $18,473,900 general funds. And the committee substitute you have in front of you, Mr. Chairman, between the agencies and the statewide components is $8,970,202,200, Mr. Chairman. That's $29,830,000 less than the governor's amended request. And also, the committee substitute authorizes $1,099,426,000 of transfers, and that is $49,600,000 or so less than the governor's, Mr. Chairman. So, in the big picture, the subcommittees have reduced the governor's amended budget, like I said, by $18 million, $18.4 million. And Mr. Chairman, the language section of the operating budget, we've reordered, rearranged some of the governor's requests in there to what we think is a more logical order. There was some minor modifications and to other sections, and then there were a few changes that I'll highlight for members, Mr. Chairman. And the sum total after you add in the language section, the general fund difference from the governor's budget is $20 million, $22,400 less than the governor's budget. So, Mr. Chairman, I'll just go over some of the larger items of the change in the language section. If you would like me to do that.
Yes, I would.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I concur.
Section 20 of the bill is the fuel trigger. As you are aware, the governor's fuel trigger was at a base of $50, and the governor's budget is based on roughly $83 a barrel oil. The proposal in the language section in the committee substitute would change the lowest dollar figure of the trigger from $50 to move it up to $64. And so that means we're spreading $9.5 million of fuel general fund money into the department's base budgets within the numbers section. And we've used the same allocation that OMB has used in the past, targeting where those dollars are going through the agencies. The notable exception is that you may remember in the supplemental budget that was in front of you earlier, there was a $4 million reappropriation request in the Department of Transportation and Marine Highways to take excess fuel money and put it towards maintenance and operations of vessels. And so we've reduced the fuel trigger by that amount because we figured that they must be getting excess fuel through the mechanism currently, Mr. Chairman. And so there was that reduction. Also, in Section 24E, the Public Education Fund, the language in the CS fully funds FY13's K-12 need as through the foundation formula. But what we've done is we've transferred, the CS would transfer roughly $49 million less to the Public Education Fund because there would be a large surplus otherwise in the Public Education Fund of about $56 or $57 million. And with this appropriation, we still fully fund K-12 education in FY13, but the surplus to the fund is only going to be around $11 million or 1%, which should be adequate, Mr. Chairman. And also in Section 14B, we've added a governor's amendment for FMAP backstop language, basically stating that if the federal law is not changed and our FMAP rate does not change, roughly $129,400,000 will have to be appropriated from the general fund to backfill that. And Mr. Chairman, just so you are aware, if that happens, if the FMAP rate is not changed, that $129,400,000 is not included in our reports, and so it would be in addition to our reports if that does not occur. And also, Mr. Chairman, Section 12E.
What is that again?
Section 12E. Section 12E is language regarding ASME. I believe it's page 59. 12E, Mr. Chairman. What's happened in the CS is, let me back up. You may remember also in the supplemental this year, Mr. Chairman, there was a request to replace, I believe it was $4.6 million of ASME receipts, the self-assessment tax in FY11 that was going to come late in the fiscal year, and they would not have an opportunity to spend those funds because they came in so late and there was an accounting change, and so there was a request to replace $4.6 million of processor tax collections for marketing with general funds. And Mr. Chairman, so that kind of set up a situation where we could move to forward funding ASME. And the way ASME is currently funded, Mr. Chairman, they go on projections. So for FY12, they would project how much federal receipts they would have. They would project how much tax collection, self-assessment tax collection they would receive. And then we would add an amount of general funds to that to come up for their marketing budget in FY12. And the governor's proposal in FY12 was for $6.5 million to go to ASME. And, Mr. Chairman, what the CS proposes to do is, instead of going on projections of what tax collections might be, in FY12, proposes to go back to FY10's actuals for the actual amount that was collected for by industry for marketing, and that number was $7.7 million. What the CS proposes to do, Mr. Chairman, is to mirror the, in some sense, mirror the ATIA QTA language statute that says it's a 50-50 match with industry. And so the proposal here, Mr. Chairman, is to match $7.7 million in general funds from their FY10 collections. And also, Mr. Chairman, because of the FY11 supplemental, where they did the swap out of $6.4 million of general funds for ASME receipts, if that gets approved in the supplemental, Mr. Chairman, they will have carry forward from their actual receipts from FY11 to FY12. We estimate that to be $5.5 million. And further, we've authorized them to expend 20% of their FY10 collections, which is $1.5 million, Mr. Chairman. So what the concept is to get away from projecting what their collections are going to be, going back to their actuals, their most current year of actuals, matching that on a dollar-for-dollar basis, and then if they collect more in a fiscal year than we authorize them to expend, those receipts would roll forward and would help to give them more stability in their marketing program from year to year. They should be able to know, they'll know what their receipts are in the prior year, and they'll be able to know what their match is expected to be. And that should allow them to plan ahead for the marketing effort and not have to come back for supplementals for general funds because they may have lower federal receipts or they may have lower tax collections. And that's kind of been the model. That's what's happened the last few years. They've come back if their tax collections haven't come in as they expected or federal receipts haven't come in as they expected. So that should get them away from that and give them a more predictable marketing program and a better way to plan from year to year. And further, Mr. Chairman, there's intent language there that says that the legislature that the state is willing to match up to $9 million of industry collections. If the industry brings in more than $9 million, then the intent here would be not to match that, but let them carry that forward from one year to another. Then moving on down the page there, Mr. Chairman, to ATIA, it's section G. What we've done, Mr. Chairman, is removed from the language, from the numbers section, the $9 million that was appropriated to the QTA, and just put it here in the language section, Mr. Chairman. And we've tried to use basically the same model as I just described with ASME. In 2010, industry collections were $3,045,000. And the proposal here is to match that. And since ATIA did not know we would go to this methodology in 2010, they cannot increase their contributions in 2010 right now for us to match that. We put in the carrot of another $5,954,600 available to them in FY12 if they would like to match that through the QTA on a dollar-for-dollar match basis. So basically it's the same level of appropriation and the same mechanism that was used in the numbers section, but it's just split out here a little differently in the language section. I forgot, I don't know if I mentioned, Mr. Chairman, that we took out from the numbers section the ASME appropriation and put it here in the language section. So there is a change in the numbers section on ASME. It was a $6.5 million GF appropriation. This is proposed to be a $7.7 million appropriation. So, Mr. Chairman, those were the highlights that I was going to present today.
Questions? Representative Stoltz.
Yeah. I appreciate the efforts of the co-chair on this, but I guess the tourism industry isn't quite like the fishing industry. We don't quite give them the exclusive rights to the inventory that we do to that other industry and a couple of other sub-differences that I'm still trying to figure out. Better solution. Lacking that, I'll try to think of something between now and then with some, hopefully some collective efforts. Just one of the things that troubles me, whether or not we're going to be able to come to the aid of an industry that has facing a lot of challenges. We did my first term here when we dropped everything to work on the Salmon Task Force and other issues and put some pretty significant state money in. And I lost count of how many bills we passed and appropriations were made, and there was certainly a glut of federal money coming in, which the other industry that is facing a lot of the challenges doesn't have. But that's a big lingering question for me and some other folks, Mr. Chairman, that don't have the solution right now, and I don't want it to be the capital budget, but we'll see.
And Mr. Co-Chair, I agree. I think when they came out with the Salmon Task Force, they you know, assessed the fishermen, and so now you have all this self-assessment that's helping themselves. But they created a task force, and I noticed the other day that the Commissioner of Commerce created a task force for, I forgot what it is now, that internet, but broadband. And so if they have the authority, I was wondering why maybe encourage them to do the same for this organization and try to see what they can come up with. I don't think that this being a fisherman, when the Salmon Task Force got done, that I knew that I was going to be assessed the amount of money that they assess here, there, and everywhere. So it's about 7%, somewhere around there. So I would like to encourage the commissioner to look at doing something similar to that. In the meantime, we are bound by law right now to follow that equation. Representative Guerra.
Mr. Chair, just two questions. First, on the Alaska tourism marketing effort. I guess, like the last two speakers, I don't see any reason to disrupt the apple cart this year. That would be very hard to do. But I don't feel in all my years on finance that I've gotten a very good sense as to how strongly the industry taxes itself to put their share of money into tourism marketing. And I'd like to be more comforted. I'm just saying this to the committee. I'd like to be more comforted and maybe next year to know what kind of money they're putting in and to know whether it justifies a 50-50 match. Maybe they're putting in a painful amount and it justifies a 50-50 match. Maybe they're not. But I don't feel like in all the years I've been on finance, I've gotten any sense of how strongly they're taxing themselves. So you're right. There's a statutory formula. I don't see any reason to disrupt it this year. But that's something I'd like to look at. The question I have that I need an answer for this budget is last year Representative Hawker did a good job in noticing, I think it was the Medicaid school receipts and the fact that a number of school districts had not been properly applying for them, and a lot of that money was being foregone. Was that Medicaid school receipts, or was that a different school receipt program?
Through the chair, you may be referring to the Medicaid school-based claims. I'm not sure what you're referring to.
The one we backfilled.
The one we backfilled because the school districts had not been properly applying for the money, right?
I'm not sure. I know that, Mr. Chairman, through the chair, I know that there are a few districts that take advantage of the Medicaid school-based claims, but there's not that many. And what the roughly $5.6 million, I think, in school Medicaid-based claims. And what the CS would propose to do is, what the way it's been split out in the past is half that money has gone to the districts that apply for school Medicaid-based claims for reimbursement, and the other half has went to the K-12 formula. And the CS proposes to move the full amount to the districts that apply for school Medicaid-based claims.
Through the chair, I could actually even have the program just completely wrong. I just remember there being a large debate, and maybe Ms. Rehfeldt remembers the debate well. But it had to do with money the state wasn't applying for, and then we backfilled it. And I think that was the Medicaid school-based claim program. And I think the promise last year was that school districts would do a much better job this year applying for the available funding. And I guess I want to know if there's been any resolution of that, whether that turned out to be the case.
The chair, Representative Garrett, until I know exactly what you're asking me, I don't know how to answer it. We'll have to talk and figure out what program that these claims. I'm not sure what program it might have been.
Is there anybody from Hess here?
Nobody who admits.
Yeah. Karen, do you remember? Because I, if I remember, Representative Gary, that we even backfilled it with an amendment on the floor. Some pretty big numbers. I can't remember the program either. I thought it was something to do with school.
For the record, Karen Mayfield with OMB. To Representative Garrow's question, I believe it is the Medicaid school-based claims that we were discussing last year. At the time, I think it was a little over $2 million that, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I know that the Department of Health and Social Services and the Department of Education have been working together to try to get more school districts to participate in that program. And I believe what the House CS does would direct the funds received then to those districts that are participating.
That's correct. Yeah. Do the chair or something here. Yes, that is correct.
through the chair. I just got a note passed to me that reminds me, I'm not sure about this, but the applications for those funds were so inadequate that we were losing out on federal contributions as well, right? Was that not the case also, that the program was being run in a way where the applications weren't coming in, we were losing available federal funding, and by losing the available federal funding, we had to backfill it with state funding? I guess the real question is, are we doing any better in that regard this year?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Guerra, I know that is one of the issues that we had, was whether or not districts are really doing a good job. And Health and Social Services and Education have been working hard to make that happen. I would need someone from Hess to really be able to tell you what all has occurred from last year to this year, but I know they've worked very hard to make improvements to that claiming process.
Just finally through the chair, do we know are we backfilling as much foregone federal funding this year as we did last year?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Gere, I don't believe we have a backfill request in front of you for that.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I represent the first and second largest school districts in the state, being Anchorage and Mat-Su, so I got to assume there's a big chunk of them coming there, that they're bigger than the local governments that they reside in. If they're not doing it, what else do we have to do to coddle and cradle them into doing it? They have more employees than God there. I mean, they're bigger than the city of Anchorage, the municipality of Anchorage, and the Mat-Su. The school district is a much larger budget. I guess if they're not doing it, I don't have a lot of sympathy. If those folks, knowing this process, they all send lobbyists down here. They all have very active delegations. Open a mouth. Ask a question. I mean, this is kind of silly that we're here saying, boy, did these guys do this and why didn't? I'm almost embarrassed for both those districts if they are the culprits. Not almost, I am.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Stoltz, I believe that Anchorage and Mat-Su, there are two components of the Medicaid claims, one for their administrative portion and one for direct services. And I believe both of those districts are participating at least in the direct services, but someone from education could give you more information on that.
Perhaps I'll do an Emily Attila then here. So.
Any other questions? If you think of any of Representative Dugan.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I just want to make sure that what I'm reading here is correct. And, Pete, I guess you're the guy who has to tell me that. I'm on page 61 talking about the language that I assume is going to backfill, $129,400,000 for health and social services. And am I reading that correct in the first instance?
Through the chair, yes, Representative Dugan. If the FMAP rate has not changed, then this language would backfill that shortage of federal funds with general funds.
And Pete, can you tell me any more about when anybody thinks we're going to know that money isn't going to be there?
Through the chair, Representative Dugan, I wouldn't be the best person to ask. Perhaps Karen might have a better idea.
I
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dugan, I don't know at this moment when we might find out if that extension is going to occur. I know that the there's a lot of discussion going on about that, but I don't know that anyone's received any kind of indication as to when we would know.
And am I correct in understanding and assuming that the drop dead date on that is the first of the next fiscal year?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dugan, yes, it would be for July 1.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you. That amount, that $129 million amount, has bothered me since we received the governor's budget. It's money the state doesn't have. It's money that Congress would have to change the law to make sure we get. So I regard it as a deficit. It's and in fairness, I think if we're going to do truth in budgeting, it's a deficit. It's money we don't have. And that's okay. There are years where you don't have, where you can't balance the budget. But I hate keeping on with the sort of fiction that the money, let's count the money as money that might be there. It's not there. It doesn't exist. So unless somebody changes the law, I hope the governor would continue to regard that as just deficit spending.
There's no question to that comment. Yes, I just want to point out the reason we didn't put it in there either was to not to overbill our budget, and we'll just wait. I mean, that'd be massive, you know. Question, Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to go back to page 59 where we have the $9 million appropriated general fund for tourism and marketing activities. And I know when I talked to ATIA, they were requesting about $20 million. And I like the approach of this where we're going to have a set amount so that they have some type of surety, but we're going to require them to bring in the same on their side. Didn't quite. We held back a little bit from what they requested. But then again, we're requiring more than almost double or triple the amount that they've been putting in, that they have to put in on their own, if I'm reading that correctly. So I like that approach, and I think that that's the chair's intent when I'm reading this. And I guess that's my question, is that where we're going on that? And I think I read that appropriately, correct?
Correct. At this point, I we've been watching this for 4 years. I've been on finance, and I think they've been requested to do something each year, and all we're doing for the committee to know is we're going back to what the law says. The law says we 50-50 match by July, and this budget is coming out and will be the budget that we'll be working on. So, questions? Representative Dugan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was reflecting on the previous comment. I want the members to know that in my case, this $129 million is not a soundbite. It's $129 million that we're going to have to come up with one way or the other. I certainly hope that the federal government is going to continue to be generous with us. But if they're not going to, which is the way it looks, we shouldn't be passing a budget that's got a $129 million hole in it and pretending like it doesn't. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Pete?
Mr. Chairman, I guess just for clarification, through the chair, If the federal law does not change, that appropriation will occur. But I guess as far as legislative finance reports are right now, it's not in the governor's report and it's not in our report. It's treated it's as if it hasn't happened yet because we don't know what's going to happen. But the appropriation will occur if the federal law is not changed.
Any other comments? If not, tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., HB 166, 9 o'clock, House Finance, State Agency Performing Audits. And then tomorrow afternoon at 1:30, we'll start taking public testimony on the operating budget. And we'll go on till Wednesday, also at 1:30. Maybe for the public, I should read the communities we're going to listen to. 1:30 to 2:30 will be Juneau. Tomorrow, 2:45 to 3:45, Bethel, Kotzebue, Barrow, Nome, Delta, and Offnets. 4 to 5:15 will be Anchorage. And then on Wednesday, public testimony again, 1:30 to 2:45 will be Fairbanks. 3 to 4, Sitka, Wrangell, Petersburg, Gillingham, Cordova, Onalaska, 415 to 5, Homer, Kenai, Valdez, Ketchikan, Kodiak, Matsu, Glen Allen, Doak, and Seward. So that's the schedule for the interest of people in Never Never out there.
Mr. Co-Chair?
Yes.
On the other action that tomorrow, I believe it's tomorrow morning.
HB 166.
166, I think we're graced by the sponsor right now. The speaker is going to have his bill regarding the auditing and the sunsetting of departments on a periodic basis over a period of time. And I don't know how far we'll get, but that's I think that dovetails very well into our budget deliberation process. So we're looking forward to having him here tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.
Was a sighting. Okay. With that, we are adjourned till 9 tomorrow. Thank you.